This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. We're so glad you joined us today. I'm Brett Larson. Alongside Ryan Cozy every week as we join you on Christ Together Radio. I'm the general manager of WDCX Radio, and Ryan is the pastor of Missional Living at the Chapel at Cross Point. And Dr. Cozy is very gracious to join us every week as we kind of partner together to start this show. And the idea is to just to let you know about what God is doing in Western New York through the Church of Western New York. We believe God is on a special mission in the Buffalo area. We've seen him work in so many different ways in so many unique contexts. And we felt it was important just to kind of let you know about it. And so if you want to stick around today, you can. We join us every week, Saturdays at 9 and Sundays at noon. You can also check us out online at WDCXradio.com. Click on programs. You'll see Christ Together Radio right there. And it should take you right to our past programs and episodes. And you can find out all kinds of unique ways. It really is the breadth of different people we have had on is just it's pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
And it really has been a lot of fun. And joining us for the second week here is Elijah David Shimenda. And Elijah is the founding pastor and church planter of Resurgent City here that's starting up in the city of Buffalo. And it's been really cool last week to get to know Elijah a little bit better and kind of his story, born in Zimbabwe and coming over here as a young boy, and just how God has worked in his life from just being a young child to watching his dad plant churches in different cities. And just as he's grown up in different cities, and ended up in Buffalo, and maybe someday in Seattle, way down the road. That's an inside joke. You're going to have to listen to last week's show to get that. But just so cool to have Elijah with us, and we've just had so much fun, even between the breaks. Yeah. And we're sorry you guys can't hear that, but we only have an hour, so yes. You know, can't hear it all. But we're going to talk about church planting again today and kind of the greater context of what God is doing in the Church of Western New York and how that Elijah's take on that coming in from just looking at Buffalo as a place where T.O. played football that was snowy to now a place where he wants to plant a church and is investing in lives is just a cool thing. And Ryan, it's great. You have so many of these relationships that you continue to develop, and we're thankful that you bring them to us to get to know them better. But it's got to be encouraging for you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the reality is, and it's been a couple of weeks since we've been able to be in studio just because it's just there's times and seasons of this stuff where it's just overwhelming. But, you know, the reality is I just wish I could build more relationships over time. And I think to be honest, like in getting to know Elijah, it's been like it's been hard to schedule time because it's like, you know, he's wrapping up at Orchard Park. I'd been swamped and busy. But you know, the reality is there are a number of neat things that God's doing in the region. By no means are we the full representation of that. And I think it's really important for our listening audience to understand we have not yet arrived. We have so far to go, but yet at the same time, God's doing some good stuff. And we want to shed light on that. We want him to be glorified. And we also want our listening audience to know that there are ways that you can immediately get involved with your time, your talent, your treasure, and your prayer. And so sometimes it's our responsibility to help you understand where God's moving, where we sense God moving. And Resurgent City is one of those examples, and we've been showcasing it last week and this week, and we're excited to see where the conversation goes today.
We are. And Elijah, tell us real quick, because I think we're going to get into some different things today, but we just have a couple minutes left here in this opening segment, but where Resurgent City is kind of your vision for where it's going to be located, just if people weren't listening last week.
Yeah. The desire is for us to be, as far as the gathering aspect, to be right there on Main Street around Theater District, and would love to be in one of the theaters right in there. And kind of downtown being that safe space where people from the different parts of the city can kind of just come to. So,
what's your timing?
We're looking. Mm-hmm. We're really being intentional to not be a microwave type plant, but to be a slow cooker?
Crock pot model.
Yeah. And so that means, man, really digging deep. So what we've decided to do, instead of letting the timeline really be the thing that drives us, goals, how we build relationships, be that. But that being said, we have a target date of September 16th, 2018.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's like, you know, if we hit those markers and we really feel like we're going at a good pace and the vision is being met, then, yeah. That's what we have.
It's funny, too, because people are like, man, it's almost a year away. But for the planter, the clock's ticking. Yeah, it is. But
the day you started doing it,
things got to happen here.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of things that got to happen, and so we at least know what to pray for. And those in our audience, even out of market, might be listening in Toronto, can continue to pray that, you know, that all happens. But we're going to get more into that in just a few minutes, and into what it means for the Church of Buffalo, and just how things are shaping up coming up this year too, Ryan, with just what kind of church planning is going on and what kind of efforts are out there, and how God is working in different ways. But you're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside Dr. Ryan Cozy and Elijah David Shimenda in studio with us today. Stick around. I think you're going to want to hear from this. It's pretty cool stories, and last week was great. So Elijah's really great and conversational. So we're going to, I think, have a good time here together in studio. So it'll be worth your time. Grab a cup of coffee, whatever you got to do. If you're driving, just drive a few laps around the block so you can keep listening. And we'll get to it in just here in a minute on WDCX.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brett Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at the Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Thanks for joining us today. We don't take it for granted that you listen to us and take your time. Even if you're driving, we understand you have options, and so we're just glad that you take a few minutes to hear what God is doing in Western New York. Celebrate with us and kind of discover with us as we're understanding what God is doing through Elijah Shimenda, as he is planning Resurgent City here in the Buffalo area, Theater District around Main Street in the city of Buffalo. And it's really, I don't know, it's encouraging to me because WDCX has been downtown here for so many years in the city. And even when it kind of wasn't popular being in the city, we stayed. Not necessarily because we are some glorified thing. It's just because the rent was good. So why not? We'll just stay here. And we weathered the storm and here. But, no, it's cool to see things coming alive here. Yeah. And, you know, church planters are coming into the city part to plant churches and reach people in the city. And it's just, to me, it's so encouraging that people are actually joining us downtown again.
Yeah. It's crazy too, because I know growing up here for at least, 9 to 10 years of my childhood, I can't remember a crane in the sky in Buffalo. And you know, the idea now that I just come off the 33 again, there's another thing going on over by,
where'd that building come from?
I just looking at myself going, and now granted, and we've talked about this on our show, like the Renaissance of Buffalo doesn't hit everybody equally.
Yeah.
And that's important. It's important to talk about. It's important to understand, like, some of our partners experience that tension and that difficulty, but it is pretty crazy. I mean, I literally just driving in here today, I'm driving, I hit Main Street, as you know, before I turn left on Allen, coming off 33, I'm going, man, there's just a lot going on.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool that God is in the midst of a lot of, secular stuff going on. He's also moving his people to want to pay attention to that stuff. And Elijah just happens to be one of those guys. So it's pretty cool.
It is. And Elijah, it's you mentioned, you know, Buffalo came on the scene as your dad kind of led that, and as you came up here and stuff. And what does it feel like for you to be a part of a city that went through, some economic difficulties for everybody really involved? And now as things turn around, or at least beginning to, there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of headaches and warts that come with that. We all acknowledge that. But is it exciting for you to plant a church in a city that's starting to come alive again?
Yeah, it's really exciting because I'm not, I guess, like some other people, which would be like maybe I'm a relocator. So like I came in from outside to come in. So like everything is people's stories, and that's what I get to hear. And so for me, it's just amazing just to hear the excitement in people, to hear some frustration like for the reasons that you mentioned a little bit earlier, Ryan. And so, like for me, it's just there's this really cool tension. I think that God is just throwing us in the middle of. So yeah,
yeah, no, that's really cool.
Yeah, and you know what? The cool part about I think what's happening, at least in the church context, again, not perfectly, but that's beginning with, you know, Ryan being available and so many people being willing to talk through things. I think that we talk about a renaissance or a new beginning or a growth period happening for the city, and it doesn't include everyone. But what I like is that the discussion is happening, mm-hmm. that it's noticed,
yeah.
not by everyone. And certainly not fixed or even a plan to be fixed, but there is some sort of recognition of that, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, you know, just even in my experience, part of it has been God has brought me relationships. So God's brought me into relationship with Andre Clark, and you know, today just having lunch with Charles McCauley, getting to know him better, getting to know Jason Drayton better, getting to know and appreciate Pastor Giles better, getting to know, appreciate. I just preached a couple weeks ago at for Shiloh Baptist Church in Buffalo, Pastor Staples, the fact that he opened up his pulpit to me. You know, like all of that stuff is, it's the relationships that lead to the ability to have the hard conversations, right. and the challenging conversations. And we, like I said, we talked about this on the show a number of different times, but it is important to acknowledge that tension, but to also, to not be paralyzed mm-hmm. by the fact that, yeah, it's not perfect, but what can God's people do as they feel led to engage the imperfection that is, so that we can bring the hope of the gospel into some of these areas. And a way to better learn is, you know, for me has been just to be quiet and to listen a lot. And God's given me those relationships to be a part of. So it's good.
Now, as we talk about church planting in the Western New York area, Ryan, I know, you know, Resurgent City is happening, and maybe you and Elijah both can talk about just the work that has to be done. Maybe what's coming up this year, kind of what's on your radar. And I know Elijah's one of those that's mm-hmm. planting in the area. And kind of the church at West, give us a picture of the landscape of leading into 2018. I mean, we've talked with a number of people mm-hmm. in 2017. What's going on now?
Yeah, that's great. So, you know, many people may have heard this at one of the other episodes. But, you know, the reality is over the last 9 years or so prior to this year, 2017, the chapel, in partnership with others, we had seen, I think it's 25 or 26 churches planted over that 8 to 9 year period. Here's what's significant about that is that those churches that were planted with that every man, woman, and child sort of commitment to see them have repeated opportunities to hear, see, and respond to the gospel, it represents a metric that's really important to us, which is we now have one church plant for every 50,000 people in Western New York that has a desire to see every man, woman, and child reached, okay? And that doesn't include the churches that already exist that desire to advance the Great Commission, okay? So I'm not – that's important. But also on the church planting end, it's been really important for us to say, okay, but we want to continue to have this particular sort of DNA developed in partner church plants. And 2017 was a year where we did it with great cohesion. Mm-hmm. And that was through the church planting initiative, also known as CPI. And so going into 2018, it'll be the same thing. And in fact, Elijah, and I know Elijah will be applying for some help through CPI. I know a number of other people will be doing that as well. And it's exciting. You know, it's a competitive process, so there's no guarantee. But the reality is strong applications get strong consideration. Mm-hmm. And I've really enjoyed the process. We saw in 2017, we were, almost 20 churches gave financially to CPI, and 5 churches were birthed in that process. 4 brand new and 1 that had been planted already that got a real good shot in the arm that was about a year old. That would be Anchor Church in North Buff, Steve Johnson. So, there's a lot to be excited about with respect to church planting and greater body partnership toward it. And I'm looking forward to see who applies in 2018. I'm looking forward to see who God's going to help us enter into partnership with. And I know Elijah could potentially be one of those candidates. And so I'm just excited to see. It's a neat time to be alive in Western New York for this stuff. And Maybe one other comment. It was interesting because not too long ago, I think it was Christianity Today, they ran an article, and it was basically, it was Dr. Ed Stetzer had been talking about, you know, what we need to see next in cities is networks of churches within those cities that want to plant churches in those cities. We need cities that are doing that. And I just thought, all right.
Hello.
Like, I just raised my hand. Like, that's us. We're doing it. I mean, imperfect. We want more money. We want more ability to do more. You know, we just want more of everything. But the reality is, like, hey, we're doing that here in Western New York.
Yeah.
And it's messy. But, man, it's better to do this than to, you know, wait for the perfect thing to come along. So, you know, from my end, that's what excites me in this process. So.
Elijah, were you aware, you know, when you started thinking about planning in the Buffalo area, I suppose you were because you were working in the area, but about the Christ Together Network and the Church of Western New York and what's going on and kind of this this greater body partnership idea that's rolling around. Were you aware of that?
Yeah. One of my good friends, you just mentioned him, Steve Johnson, is planted. So we had some conversations. And so what's really cool even going through the planting process right now for me was to know that, man, we're not anything special. Like, God has been doing this way before, like, me or any of us, right? Like, he had been just working through the city, and so, like, we just get to join in. And so, like, just to know, like, hey, here's this movement, which I have never heard of anybody doing this. Like, I've literally stood at Orchard Park platform and said, like, man, what Christ Together is doing, what CPI is doing, I've never heard of anything like that. We're blessed to live in this period. As I talked to other church planters in my tribe around, they're just like, what? That's a real thing? So, yeah.
It's happening in Buffalo.
Well,
come on down.
And it's interesting because some of it happens out of necessity. It's just, it's not a major market. There's not big dollar cash flows rolling around. And at some point, if it's going to happen, I think early on, a number of people thought, hey, we better get together because it's not going to happen unless we do that. Because there's not one tribe, as we say. And what that means for an outsider, we a lot of times use insider. What that means is one denomination or group of people or organization that's going to just throw big dollars at something because it's Buffalo and it's the cold north. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know, what does it rank, Ryan? It's one of the least Bible-minded cities in America.
Yeah, it's the fifth most biblically illiterate.
Here we go, fifth.
And
Albany's one.
Eighth most post-Christian.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And they said, let's do Christian radio there. So that's cool. no.
And, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being our listening audience.
Yeah, exactly. All three of you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. God's blessed us greatly. In order to make that happen in a city like this, it does take a team effort. And I think that's the neat thing, right, about being kind of on the front lines. I mean, honestly, we don't have any listeners from Atlanta, but anybody can go to Atlanta and plant a church, right?
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Zing.
Like, you want to really be on the front lines? Go to Buffalo or go to – or worship. I have a friend that planted a church in Albany, which is the least Bible-minded city in America. So.
Yep, absolutely.
No, but it's cool. And Ryan and Elijah, it's just great to watch God call young men to do this. I mentioned that last, but I can't explain that more. You know, you're on the cusp of a millennial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I guess you'd kind of be one, right?
Yeah, I'm fully there.
You're fully
fully there. I'm fully claim that. Yeah,
you're
a millennial.
But you know, the generation gets so it gets so much bad press in a way, or you know, even you know, business owners and leaders and stuff kind of complain about that generation, but there is so much opportunity there because they are willing to blaze paths with when there's a purpose.
Absolutely.
And this church planting idea, everybody thinks it's all trendy. It's not. It's just, it fits kind of their generation. It's great. And it's how God uses that for his glory, because that's what this is all about. It's about God's glory and to make him known. And that's what you're doing here in the Church of Western New York. So, Ryan, let's talk with Elijah a little bit more. Let's talk more directly about Resurgent City.
Yes, absolutely.
When we come back and just kind of what your model for that is. Not that there's like a real model for that, but just kind of what it's going to look like.
Yeah, that'd be a great conversation.
Yeah, kind of your plan. What you want to see God do there. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, Ryan Cozy, joining us, co-host, as we do every week. Elijah David Shimenda, joining us from Resurgent City Church. And if you want to find out more about Resurgent City and kind of how we got to discuss this and how Elijah got here, you can go to WDCXradio.com, click on Christ Together, and you'll see last week's episode where we kind of talk about Elijah's background. Stay with us. You're going to find out more about Resurgent City and just about how God is going to use that church to impact Buffalo for him.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy joining you here on WDCX, Saturdays at 9 a.m., Sundays at noon. Check us out online at wdcxradio.com. Today, joining us in the studio is Elijah David Shimenda. He's from Zimbabwe. Actually, you wouldn't notice that. You don't have any kind of accent, but he moved here when he was just a young kid. His dad was a church planner and felt the call to ministry. And just growing up in ministry has seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, and decided to make it his own. And he's going to be planting a church here in the Buffalo area called Resurgent City. And before the break, Ryan, we talked about how it'd be interesting to hear about Elijah's unique model. I'm actually interested to hear about it. You've heard the stories, you know, kind of presented it to you.
Yeah. But,
I'd like to hear it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so why don't we just give you the floor, brother? Tell us what you're thinking. Because, you know, people plant churches and the methodologies now more than ever, they're just different. People are talking about house models. People are talking about more high churches. Like we planted an evangelical Anglican church last year that's focusing on lapsed Catholicism. What are you thinking? What is God putting on your heart in terms of what you think is going to be an effective church plant in the context that you're feeling led to plant in?
Yeah, so I guess the way I guess to start off framing it, I would say like our mission is so much more like what you guys are talking about, this seeing the gospel really saturate this area. And so our vision, the way that plays out, if we do that well, what I've been championing with our little small group is that we would see a renewed, unified, disciple making movement in Buffalo. And so to do that, it means that we're going to have to dig really deep. And so, it means that the Sunday gathering, it is an importance for us, but it's not the main thing. And so that means being strategic in where people kind of stay and live and really working through our small groups, getting to know people, getting to really live in that neighborhood, building really strong relationships that are going to be here for years, not just doing it because it's cool or being a flash in the pan kind of group. And that also means like in our space, we're looking at a theater right now, which is just, and it's just broken down. You know, that's just a way to say it. Like, it's just kind of busted, type area. But like I love that space because, we get to set up and tear down. It's not the most beautiful space, but it gives us the energy of saying like, hey, we're a church on mission. Right. Mm-hmm. So never get comfortable. Never say like, hey, we just come to gather, and keeping that in our mind. So we really want to focus on three things: our Sunday gatherings, our small groups, and then our discipleship groups. And saying like, man, to be a part of this group means that everybody should be in some type of discipleship making relationship, whether you're being discipled or you're doing the discipling. And saying like, man, that's the spaces that we want to create. And if you're somebody who's kind of on the fringe, like we want to help you get there. That's really the heart of what the church is going to look like.
Yeah, that's really cool. You know, you talked an interesting. I mean, this is one of the rubs. You know, like some people, you know, Sunday morning means different things to different people. And it sounds like, you know, clearly, and I know we've talked about this, we're not talking about let us forsake the gathering of the fellowship of the believers. We're not talking about that.
Yeah.
But we are, in this conversation, we're making a shift to say, hey, Sunday's important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not that it's not important. But what is going on, honestly, Monday to Saturday in the lives of believers? How is Christ-like community being fostered outside of that Sunday morning environment? And how is that helping our folks to live on mission? Now, to me, this is super important because I've talked about this in other episodes, I preside over a data set that has looked over 50,000 evangelicals at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, and this includes Western New York, disciples are not, by and large, engaged in Missio Dei.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to take what we can get from Sunday. Mm-hmm. We want to take what we can get from the most recent podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We want to take what we can get from the latest Twitter feed. We want to know that we're smarter than everybody else, or we're more reformed than everybody else, mm-hmm. or we're more free will than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you just got a lot of people that don't know Jesus, and the salt and light of the gospel, it's not really being put on display with God's people.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like this is something you want to get back to.
Yeah. Yeah. I one of the guys, I mean, just to piggy off of that, is one of the guys which has informed my thinking on this is guys like Alan Hirsch and mm-hmm. Mike Frost.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys which, I mean, the way that they talk about the mission that every one of us, that Ephesians 4, right, is to equip the people to do the work of the ministry. And what does that really look like?
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, for a long time, it's looked like you guys are pastors, you're standing on the stage, but God calls us all to have skin in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, for us, it's saying discipleship means every day. So what are these habits, what are these rhythms that you're building in your life? And so, like, Sunday really should be that time to celebrate what God has been doing all through the week. And so for me, like, that's just a passion. And it's awesome because God is bringing people which are like-minded. But I think for just my perspective, for us to really be a gospel-saturating type of movement, it's going to mean everybody doing their part, not just like, hey, you preached a great message, or hey, yeah. you brought somebody to the Lord, but everybody doing their part. And so that's why I think this model works best for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Why is it so hard for us to get this?
Yeah.
You know, why is it so challenging for us as believers to catch on to this idea?
Yeah. You know what's is interesting? So going through this discipleship training, which I've been doing with people and talking, is it's like I think we understand that walking with someone is a good thing. But the problem happens, and this is just my personal belief. I could be wrong with that. This is like you start getting deep with someone. I want to stick with this person because they know my flaws. They know my secrets. We've grown deep. And there's no movement outside of that. And I think you see that in the church very early on. Like, man, Acts 2, they were getting deep with each other. They were loving on each other. But they still weren't fulfilling what God had called them. And so what does God do, right? He sends, man, persecution. He's like, man, I want you to move this thing outside your little bubble, and I want you to start spreading the word. And so, like, I think it's human nature just doesn't want to push forward. Like I want to cluster that. I want to be safe. And, yeah. and if I move past that first, like, initial step of being vulnerable and I see that you're okay with me, like, mm-hmm. that's it.
Yeah, we're good.
Like, God wants us to yeah. do, man, so much more than that. And when we do that, man, like, explosive growth.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's, I think we'll see more growth when we're more of a multiplicative hearts in a church than yeah. saying like, man, how can I gather to myself?
Yeah.
So. I think a lot of it, as a student of theology, it comes down to our theology, our personal theology. And what I mean is that how does your theology drive your life? Because we can have an intellectual theology. That's what, when we say the word theology, we think of, oh, I have to know more. And then we have this intellectual theology. But a practical theology, like a true theology played out in our lives, it forces us to do something. Hmm. And I think so many times is we have a bad theology. We have a theology that says, I just need to know more about God. Hmm. Where a practical theology is not, it's not that you need, yeah, you do need to know more. You need to know more so you can do more.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
a true right theology tells you to push out into the Missio Dei, right?
Yeah.
It all centers around the glory of God and to make him known, and because God is on a mission, and it's our job to help make that mission known and mm-hmm. to get underneath it.
Yeah.
And so as we honestly, Ryan, I think you've studied spiritual formation in depth, and I think one of our issues, one of the byproducts of the lack of spiritual formation and discipleship in our country is a bad theology
mm-hmm.
about what it means to be a believer in Christ.
Yeah. You know, Elijah, I know that how much time do we have left in this
segment? We have about 4 minutes, right?
Okay. Maybe just one more question for this segment. And one of the things I think about is like when you're able to start casting vision for this, I'm sure you're kind of drip feeding this idea to people that God's bringing to you relationally. Mm-hmm. What do you sense they're hungry for in this process? The people that are saying, "Hey, I want to be a part of this." What is it that you think is drawing them to do this?
Yeah, I think that they get to join in being a part of the movement and not just being a spectator. Mm-hmm. Like that's been the thing where every time I talk to, and they're mostly millennials. They're people my age. Like they want to be a part of the action, right? And so for them, when we talk about like the kingdom is now. Right. Mm-hmm. Like you're part of seeing heaven on earth now. And it's not waiting to go to this far off country at some point. But God calls us and invites us to be in this now. Like they're excited and they're like, oh, I get to be a part. Right. Like I like, you know, you're not just the only priest in this like holy island, but I get to be a part of that. And so, yeah, I've been seeing just a lot of just excitement saying like, OK. So what does that look like for me? And then now we're shaping like, okay, what are your gifts?
Yeah.
And let's use that. So, yeah, the part, just the ability to say like, man, I'm a part of this.
Yeah.
I get to do something. Yeah.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. This is Ryan Cozy, along with my co-host, Mr. Brett Larson.
Looking hey there.
Dapper and as always. and Elijah David Sermenda is joining us in studio today. And we've just been talking about church planting. We've been talking about Resurgence City. I believe David has said that, or Elijah has said that they're planning on launching in September of 2018. Elijah, if people want to get a hold of you as we close out this segment, if like they're listening to this going, man, I want to be a part of that, how do they connect with you? What's a good way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can email me at Elijah@ResurgenceCity.com. Mm-hmm.
Can you spell that out?
Elijah at Resurgence, ResurgenceCity, ResurgenceCity.com. And that's the best way to get a hold of me. And or you can go to the website, ResurgenceCity.com, and just subscribe to our mailing list and we'll get in contact with you. Yeah. Mm.
Right, sounds good. When we come back, we're going to wrap up our final segment for this week. But, you know, Elijah, I just want to say thanks for being a part of this for the last couple of weeks. It's been really encouraging. It's been good radio. So sometimes we do this and it goes a little slow. Sometimes it's super conversational. And I've just really enjoyed getting to know you through this interview process. So thanks so much for your time. Stick with us, gang. We got one more segment to go. Christ Together Radio, WDCX. One last segment to go. Stick around.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on His mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. We're thankful that Elijah Sermenda has joined us for the last 2 weeks here in Christ Together Radio talking about Resurgence City Church. I'm Brett Larson, General Manager of WDCX, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy, who's a pastor of Missional Living at their Missional Engagement. I always forget which one it is. Missional Engagement or Missional Living or just all mission?
I think it's Pastor of Missional Living.
Missional Living.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah.
At the chapel at Cross Point. Ryan is kind of heads up this network of church thing, and just the chapel's gracious enough to, you know, provide a guy and to have Ryan go out and forgive me if I'm explaining it wrong, but
start
to help build partnerships throughout the region. And so we're so thankful for a church like the chapel to be honest with you, spearhead. And I'm not, you know, paid by them or I'm not on staff with them, but it really is a great ministry that they kind of have been the tip of the spear in so much of what's going on in the Church of Western New York. And so we're just so thankful for our relationship and partnership with them. I just had to put that out there. Elijah, thanks for spending your time with us today. And in the few minutes we have left in the break, we were talking about just how the nature, the face, the look, the feel of church is changing. It's not something that we're just saying because it's like academics sit around and say everything's changing. No, it really is. Like things are a little bit different, and they're changing because culture shifts, what's accepted shifts, and it's not that the truth shifts. It's just that how it looks and contextually how it plays out or its praxis might look a little different. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of talking about like what do we see coming? Like if we had, you know, the crystal ball, so to say, like we look into it. How does church look? And I think you're a great example. contextually how things shape up and how they're just that your generation, the upcoming generation, is of church planners and of people in the church are a little bit timid to put their name on a label, mm-hmm. Other than Christ follower and orthodoxy and things that matter. But as far as denominational labels or things that they don't want those to hinder mm-hmm. the mission of God, right?
Yeah. No, I agree with that 100%. I think because of that, because my generation, the millennial generation, is an action generation oriented generation, and we want to see everybody moving and being a part of this mission, the mission of God. I think what I kind of see coming in the corner is more of that Christ together feel, like cross denominational, like those barriers don't matter to us as much anymore. I have a friend in who planted in Greensboro, and he's in Christ Together Network, and he's a Wesleyan pastor. And yeah. he's telling me, he's like, man, you gotta find about this Christ Together stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I actually know somebody who's
I know those folks.
Yeah, I think and he's 24 years old, and he just planted as a church of a little bit over 100, and similar type of experience. But I just think that's kind of the future wave, like more breakdown of the things that divide, saying like the gospel is the central message. And so what does it look like for us to partner? And so I'm excited to see that happen in Buffalo, and it's happening in Buffalo. I think that's the new wave, honestly, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I remember 5 or 6 years ago when we were, you're trying to plant churches in the region, and that word house church or, comes up as a model, and, kind of, even at that time, overboding, no, don't talk about that. Don't entertain that. But it's just been fascinating to watch, even in the first year of CPI. Okay. You've got an evangelical Anglican who's focusing on lapsed Catholicism. So he's using a high liturgical model to engage with people in Western New York who haven't been to church in a long time, mm-hmm. right? There's mm-hmm. one model. You've got a Wesleyan in Steve at Anchor Church, and he's doing things maybe more of a traditional way, like get a mm-hmm. core, launch, have a facility, have services, okay? You got Jonathan Hasley with Barefoot Christian Community. He's looking at a community center in town of Niagara. He's bivocational, and he's going, yeah, we're going to be meeting in homes, and we'll meet at the community center on Sunday, but the authentic communities all outside of that become really important for how we live on mission. Mm-hmm. You've got Chris Jew, who's doing, he's Korean Presbyterian, second-generation Asian American, focusing at UB. That's a unique experience in and of itself. Yeah. And then you've got one church, formerly Akron Free Methodist. They're doing a satellite model. So all of a sudden these models are very different. I don't know if I missed anybody in that. I think that was all five, of the partners. Yeah. If I missed somebody, I'm sorry. It's been a long day, but, methodology seems like, as long as we're talking orthodox, mm-hmm. the methodology, our hands are wide open, just going, what does that look like? And so I'm just wondering, what do you see that looking like in the next coming years of planting and new expressions of God's bride in the region? Do you see anything on the horizon that seems interesting to you, being a millennial?
Yeah, I see a bunch. I see a bunch of really interesting, fresh expressions of what God is going to do. I have a friend right now who's planting a food park, a food truck park. And that's his church. And I was like, I don't understand. What is it? It's like, he's like, we're buying land. We're going to have food trucks there. And we're just going to have this genuine, just move of man, we want to love people. He's not going to take any money from that. He's going to be completely bivocational. And I think, and he's around the same age as me. And I think you're just going to see a lot of people saying what does it look like for us to really be pinpoint focused on being true to the gospel, but being so far out the box? Because the truth of the matter is that people are just changing, right? Like our generation, like my generation is the most, I think, like informationally inundated generation ever. Like you say something, I can Google it right away. I can find out, like, is Dr. Ryan Cozy really right in this moment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and so.
I think so.
Probably.
I think so. I am from an accredited school, just putting that out there.
And so, like, I think because of that, it's forcing people to say, like, what are different ways to think about this? And so, like, yeah, I really do see, like, I think our what we're doing is has got a different flavor and taste to it. And so, like, I feel like God is creating spaces for people which just wouldn't otherwise really darken the doorsteps of maybe a traditional model. And that's not saying that's bad.
No, and that I can't remember the researcher who talked about this, but I think it's in McNeil's book, Missional Communities. I think it's in that book because I'm teaching out of it right now. But, you know, one of the ideas that people have to remember is, like, given the existing models of church that exist today, when you ask 1 in 10 Americans if they would be willing to darken the door of the existing models, like what they know of church to be today, only 40% of the total population of Americans that are non-churchgoers, they would try it.
Yeah.
Now, in some ways, you might say, wow, that's pretty cool. The existing models and methods contribute to 40% opportunity with people that consist of, you know, almost 350 million Americans, papers and no papers, right? Like, it's like, wow, that's 40%. That also means 60% aren't interested. Yeah. And that's where, you know, these are hard conversations because they force us to think outside of existing lines of thought and yet maintaining orthodoxy in the process.
Yeah, because we've always identified those existing lines with orthodoxy.
Right. And it's tricky. You know, it is tricky, but you know, that's why we affirm orthodoxy as we enter into these conversations. Jesus is the God-man. The Bible is authoritative. Jesus can forgive all sin. The Trinity is a mystery, but it's the real deal. The Great Commission still applies to us today. And if you're going to have a church, the church ought to know that it is a church. It must have a spiritual covering, and it must exercise discipline and utilize gifts. Like these are, we're still saying these things.
These things matter.
But as these things matter, what is our responsibility to engage secular space with it?
So let me ask the both of you. I'm sorry to bring this up again, but it boils down to a theological question, and this is the question, how far do we go? And this is the tension that I hold, and I think that's valuable to hold, is how far do we go to where we make it our efforts, our tricks, our gimmicks, our plans, our coordination, and coordination with what God can do through the Holy Spirit, to where we're working so hard at convincing everybody that we're bringing tanks on the stage to impress people, to where we aren't trusting the Lord to build what He wants to build. And where's that tension and how do we manage that? And that's to me, that's the $1 million question.
Yeah. And
all of this. And I don't know that we're going to find a perfect answer today because there's huge volumes written about this in 4 minutes, guys, tell me what the answer is, you know, but that's really the question of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, one of the things that my mind immediately gravitates toward is like when Dr. Smith talks in the renovation teachings, he doesn't talk about the gospel having a relevancy problem. It's an accessibility problem, meaning that it's our ability to regularly and repeatedly put the gospel on display, to have relational trust so that we can get to gospel conversation. That is the issue that a lot of people have. And so, you know, on the event side, can we do events bigger? Can we do them better? Can we change the lighting? Can we bring more? You know, like, honestly, I feel like so much of the Christian world has said, punt. I'm not thinking about that. But what I am thinking is, I think, this is what I'm trying to say. I think we're exposed as believers. And what I mean by that is I think the exposure is we've forgotten how to be relationally relevant with a lost world.
Yeah.
And so when, as I become relationally relevant with the lost world, guess what? The message isn't any different. It's just, I mean, this is the basis of Bowling Alone, the sociological book Bowling Alone. We've forgotten how to build relationships as a society.
Yeah.
So, but as I get better at building relationships and I'm good at being authentic with you, The gospel is still the gospel. Mm-hmm. I just need to remember how to be relationally in tune. You know, so will I see anybody come to know Jesus? I don't know. That's up to God.
Yeah.
But I do have a responsibility to be relationally present, relationally giving proclamation,
and intentional in doing that.
Yeah, and being accessible in my relationship and with my gospel in the gospel. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's where I go with that answer. I don't know if it's the best.
No,
one
I
or
think
not.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Elijah, because I know you have a heart to see it done well within relationship, right?
Yeah. Just to piggyback off of you, it is that thought of breaking down the spiritual, secular divide, right? Like we preach about it on Sundays and we talk about, like, if this is your job, you're a mission there. And so, like, I say, like, we keep pushing that, right? Like, it is taking, I think, the mindset, and I hate making it sound like I'm saying one specific way is wrong. Like if you just the platform of the stage is wrong. But what I'm saying is, if we're empowering people to say, like, continue to whatever space that God has given you in work, in play, whatever, like, think about that as a place where the Spirit is at work. The whole earth is filled with God's glory. Mm-hmm. Like bring that forward. I think then those gimmicks do fall away and the truth of the gospel happens. So, like, I guess for me, it's just that saying, like, every space, we just keep pushing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't stop because that's what God calls us to.
That's Elijah Shimenda of Resurgent City, a church plant that's happening here in the Buffalo area, right down on Main Street and somewhere around the Theater District area. More information to come. I think, Elijah, you mentioned your email is Elijah with a J, mm-hmm. Elijah. At resurgencecity.com. That's right.
Yes.
Elijah at resurgencecity.com. If you want to know more about what he's doing and what God has called him to do, it's great to see, and hopefully you've enjoyed our time talking with him. Ryan, thanks again for another great broadcast.
It's always fun.
All right, Dr. Ryan Cozy, I'm Brett Larson. For both of us, hopefully you'll join us next week right here, same time, same place, on Christ Together Radio.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.